Got to admit, that's a pretty hard act to follow. But we're going to give it a try. So, hey, if you're a guest visiting here, specifically because of the Christmas program, again, just want to thank you so much for coming. We welcome you here. We're so glad that you're here to celebrate Christmas with us. My name is John Larson. I'm one of four pastors here, and I'm honored, privileged to get to preach the gospel to you here this morning. Before we get into the sermon, let me give a couple Christmas announcements that you know what's coming up. So I could use a little help. Let's see if this works. Yes, this is great. Okay, a couple services coming up here. So Christmas Eve will be on a Wednesday. It's a week and a half away. And we invite you to come and join us. We're going to open up the lobby at 3 o'clock before the 4 o'clock service. We'll have hot drinks, treats, all that kind of stuff. Get to fellowship with people, Christmas cheer before our 4 p.m. candlelight services, including baptisms. Super cool. We're excited for that. And then there will be more of the same afterwards. I think it got cut off, but there is a live stream for this service, but there won't be the kids ministry. So beware, yes, the live stream, but no kids ministry. Let's move to the next Sunday. It's the Sunday in between the two holidays. We'll start at our normal 9:30 time. We are going to read through the book of Philippians. We're going to have a public reading of Scripture, Philippians. And there will not be a live stream for that one, but there will be kids ministry. So hopefully you can remember that, which one is which. That should be a great time. So Christmas Eve and the 28th. Regarding Christmas Eve, if you normally come here, if this is your church home, maybe consider parking in our north parking lot across the street. That'll give a little bit more space for all of us in the south lot, our familiar lot right here. Well, let me give you a little bit of context for where we're at. We are in a series on the book of Philippians. I might need help with the clicker today. And we are nearing the end of the book. Last week, my co-pastor Travis did an excellent job helping us to freshly understand that familiar verse about not worrying. And he said the key to it was remembering that the Lord is at hand. And so if you missed that, I encourage you to listen to that sermon online. And even in today, you're going to notice quite a connection between last week's passage and today's. But furthermore, you're also going to see a connection between everything that just happened here and the passage that we're going to look at here this morning. We left off with once uncertain, now certain poor shepherds traveling on their way to find the baby in Bethlehem in the manger. Let's pick up the story right where the musical left off. It's going to be in Luke chapter 2 and verse 16. And I'll just do the magic clicker today just because it's not working. So this means go to the next one. I'll read it. Luke 2 verse 16 says this, "And the shepherds went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." And then the next verse, thank you so much. "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." In the Christmas story, Mary is contrasted with the response that everyone else had to this amazing news. They had a great response. They wondered at it. They were amazed. But more than that, Mary spent time treasuring and pondering upon all the things that she had heard. Let's talk about that word, pondering. Pondering is an excellent translation of the word, but let me add a little bit of texture to it. Pondering means to put into context, to connect, to think something out so as to see the big picture. It's kind of like this, a puzzle. This is a puzzle actually at our home right now. Maybe you guys are going to do a puzzle during the Christmas holiday coming up. And you're working on it, and you've got that piece in your hand, and you're trying to figure out where it goes. You've got different disconnected parts. You're analyzing the color on it to try to see where might this fit. And hopefully, if you're right, you'll figure out, oh my goodness, this piece is right at the center, and it connects all three of these pieces at once. That's a good moment when you're making a puzzle, isn't it? Can I get an amen? All right, you guys are awake. So, pondering. Mary is pondering in the sense she's trying to piece it all together. She's trying to see the big picture as she stews on it, as she thinks on this. And in Mary's case, she's thinking about three things. Let me show you what they are. The good news that her husband Joseph has received from an angel, the good news that she herself had received from an angel, and then the good news that those certain poor shepherds heard from the angel as well. So she's trying to piece these all together. Now, fascinatingly, Paul, who wrote the book of Philippians, says something very similar in his letter. And even though Philippians was written later after this story occurred, it's almost as if Mary is giving us an example of how to obey Paul's verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Here's what it is. You probably recognize it. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Let me share two blunders I've previously made in trying to understand this very familiar verse. The first blunder I've made is that I rush too quickly to the summary. I think the summary is, think good things. Because I don't know about you, but my natural tendency in life is to rush. I like fast. I like efficiency. I like speed. But Paul is intentionally slowing us down. It's like he's putting speed bumps in our way. Because he could have just said, finally, brothers, think about good things. But he doesn't say that. No, he says, he gives us eight qualities to think about for our thinking. More than just good versus bad, he gives a lot of texture to it. And more than just giving us eight qualities, he gives us a number of qualifiers to slow us down. Did you notice that? There were four times where he says, six times, whatever is, and then at the end he says, if there is any or if there is anything. So he's making us intentionally slow down our thought as we read this verse so that we'll slow down and think more deeply. But besides rushing to summarize it too quickly, the other blunder I've made is that I miss the context. Travis mentioned last week that some verses just kind of end up on coffee cups. You just take it out of context and put it on a coffee cup. This is one of those verses, and I think I've read it out of context so many times. And I just think, okay, what's the summary? Okay, just remember, think true thoughts, not lies. Think pure thoughts, not impure thoughts. That's true. But there's more context to it. Because this comes in the middle of the letter of Philippians. It comes after all this amazing good news that Paul has shared. So he addresses it. Notice the first words in the verse. Finally, brothers. He's speaking to people who have become adopted children of God. Jesus is their older brother on account of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so all of this instruction comes after the good news, after already hearing the good news that Jesus came to save us from our sins. But furthermore, both this word think from Paul and the word ponder from Mary imply putting things in a larger context by slowing us down and make us meditate on it. So Paul isn't just basically saying, hey, you're anxious, just think some happy thoughts. No, as much as he's giving us categories which with to think about life, categories for finding ourselves back in the good news gospel so we can live the life that Jesus wants us to live. Dwell on these good news categories is what he's saying. So if we read this verse disconnected from its context, sometimes I've read this out of context, and I also do that with the Christmas story, too. I don't know about you. I just have, like, kind of in a compartment is this story about baby Jesus and the shepherd and Mary, but I disconnect it from the whole big story of the Bible. and of salvation. And so this morning, instead of making a theoretical sermon, I'm going to make this very practical. We're going to try to do this verse together live right now over the Christmas story. Let's find whatever is true, whatever is honorable, all those things in the Christmas story, such that we'll be freshly amazed about the God of peace, Emmanuel, with us. And at the end, we're going to find this. We're going to find what Paul said. He said, if you practice these things, the God of peace, Emmanuel, will be with us. So here's where we're going. I always like to give you a summary. Sorry, it's a little big this morning. Here's my summary. Let's practice Paul's instruction. Think about these things by joining Mary at the manger in her pondering about the good news announced regarding the baby Jesus. So how about, would you bow your heads in prayer with me, and let's pray that God would speak to us and would aliven our hearts. Father, thank you so much for this amazing story that we're getting to dive into this morning. Thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you that from the mouth of these kids, they were singing your praises and telling your good news. I pray that this morning, like my child prayed last night, help us to have a better understanding of the significance of this story today. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would work this morning to bring clarity and to bring hope and peace, that we would see and understand your good news in a fresh way. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to join Mary in her ponderings. Remember, there were three good news she's pondering. She's thinking about the good news her husband received, the good news she received, and the good news that the shepherds received as well. So let's begin by pondering the good news previously given to Joseph by an angel. I'm going to give you the page number in case if you want to follow along in your Bible, you're welcome to. I will read it aloud. It will not be on the screen. And we're going to go through, eventually, through the sermon, three sections here. So we'll start in Matthew 1, verse 18. It's on page 807 in the House Bible in front of you. I'll begin. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Let's consider the larger context so we don't just put Christmas into a compartment here. This is a moment that is millennia in the making. God has promised his people a Messiah, a coming king. And when Messiah came, so many of their problems would be made right. Sin would be dealt with once and for all. And God's people would experience blessing and peace. 700 years before this moment where Joseph had the dream, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. These words from 700 years ago surprisingly spoke of the birth of a son coming from a virgin, but equally surprising, the name of the baby would be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And this is being fulfilled in the most literal sense in this moment, as a virgin is giving birth to a son who is actually God himself. And so this moment is connected to a larger context. And remember what the angel instructed Joseph to do regarding his name. He was to name the baby Jesus. Jesus means God saves. So the baby's name is God Saves, because this is the baby who is God, and he indeed would be the one who would save his people from their sin. Let's consider Paul's categories as we think about this passage. The first word, just, also translated righteous. It's a description of one whose life pattern is obedience to God's law. It essentially means doing the right thing. Think with me about Joseph's example about being just. Even before the angel's message, Joseph was determined to divorce Mary quietly, not bringing public shame to Mary, as she was found to be pregnant before marriage, which would have been a very shameful thing in that culture at that time. Now, Joseph refrained from being loud about this because he was a just man. He was doing the right thing. Consider with me the word honorable. Let's see if this works. I might need help moving along. Honorable, sometimes translated dignified or noble. It's the opposite of ignoble. Character worthy of respect or reverence. Let's look at Joseph's example. The angel commanded him to take Mary as his wife, and Joseph did. Yet Joseph had the noble character so as to wait for sexual relationships with Mary until after the baby arrived because of this unique situation. This noble trait of waiting is not common, and thus Joseph was honorable. Let's think about this quality of lovely. The definition, things that are lovable, pleasing, or admirable. It goes beyond what is morally right, and it moves on to what is aesthetically loving, what is aesthetically beautiful. Joseph's example, on account of being married to an already pregnant woman, Joseph would have been the recipient of shame from his community by aligning himself with Mary, based on the assumption that they would have had sexual relations before marriage. Now, Joseph does the loving thing, the very lovely thing of marrying his betrothed, even though he would be wrongly accused right alongside her. But think with me on a larger scale about these qualities expressed in the gospel, in the big picture, in an even greater quality. Far more righteous, far more just than Joseph was the baby that was in the womb of Joseph's betrothed. Being the Son of God, Jesus had been righteous for all of eternity before this incarnation moment. And even more honorable than Joseph's dignity, Jesus outshined far more by never sinning in his entire life. God displayed what was most lovely at the cross of Christ years later, as opposed to just doing the bare minimum, which would have been to be just and to punish all the people for their sin. He went above and beyond, offering grace, sending his own son to die on the cross for his enemies, to bring them to himself and to give them peace. The righteous killed for the unrighteous to bring us to God. Isn't that amazing? I love those qualities. So let's move on. Let's consider the words given to Mary next by the angel. It's in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. It's on page 855 if you want to follow along. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, For you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month of her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's consider how this good news is part of the bigger story, shall we? Now, as I mentioned earlier, the arrival of Messiah was millennia in the making. Our original parents, Adam and Eve, sinned in the garden. But before they were exiled from God's presence, God gave a promise to Eve, to the woman. He said that her seed, meaning one of her descendants, would crush the head of the serpent, meaning he would bring final defeat to Satan, the devil, to all evil. This baby, the son of Mary, a virgin, was that promised one. Furthermore, 1,000 years prior to this angelic moment, King David, the one who fought Goliath, that David was given a promise that one of his descendants would inherit his throne, the throne of David, as a good king, and he would rule on it forever. And the people, since then, for 1,000 years, they had gone through exile. They had been occupied by foreign countries multiple times, awaiting for this promise to be fulfilled. And here in Mary's womb was the long-awaited Son of David, king over an eternal kingdom. Let's consider Paul's qualities as we think on this passage. Pure. Pure meaning wholesome, not tainted by evil. Think with me on Mary's example of being pure. 3 times in this passage, it mentions specifically that she was a virgin. Mary was pure in this regard, that before getting married, she had not slept with a man. And so Mary became pregnant not by sleeping with a man, but by means of the Holy Spirit coming upon her, the power of the Most High overshadowing her. A most stunning of all miracles. Think with me also on this word, commendable. Conduct that is well spoken of by others in general. Now, in this culture, trusting an authority figure, especially an angel, was a quality that would have been well spoken of by others. And Mary exemplifies this in her response to the angel when she says the words, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." But let's think about all these qualities in a greater measure as seen through the gospel, through the big picture. Whereas Mary was pure on the level of her sexual intimacy, Jesus was pure on a much grander scale. As the Son of God, Jesus had been pure for all eternity. And in the Bible, he is likened to that of a pure and spotless lamb, one that would be given as a sacrifice. And so the angel rightly calls him holy, the Son of God. And as mentioned earlier, Jesus never sinned. Now, whereas Mary was commendable in her trust, Jesus was commendable in a more surprising way. Later on in Jesus' life, he was put on a trial for false charges brought against him, and he was brought before a Roman leader. And this Roman leader named Pilate had a hard time convicting Jesus of any crime. He actually desired to release Jesus because he commended Jesus as having done nothing deserving death. And Pilate even washed his hands in innocence before the crowds as they, with their mob volume, went out and took Jesus to his crucifixion, the sinless Son of God. Let's move on to our last story here. It's one we heard this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It's on page 857. And let's ponder the good news given to those shepherds. Verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Let's consider how this connects to the bigger picture, shall we? Again, God's people had been waiting for a Messiah for so long. When was he going to show up, and where was he going to show up? Well, we get a clue reading from the prophet Micah, who wrote this some 4.5 centuries before this moment. He wrote this in what we know as Micah 5, verse 2. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." Now, as we learned from the shepherds today, everybody knows that the city of David is Bethlehem, because that was David's hometown. And so those two are used interchangeably. And so when the angels announced the arrival in the city of David of a Savior who is Christ, Messiah, who is the Lord, which is God, the context includes Micah's ruler from Bethlehem prophecy, as well as all these other things we've covered. Let's consider a few more of these qualities. True, that which correlates with reality. Think about the shepherds and that they believe the truth of the sign given by the angels. You remember the angel said that you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. And that's exactly what they discovered. The truth of what they found physically proved the claim that this baby was the Savior, was the Messiah, the Son of David, was God himself. True. The next one, if there is any excellence meaning virtue in moral excellence, Paul really invites us to consider any virtue at all when he uses this word. These shepherds are an unlikely lot for seeking out virtue, aren't they? But God chose them first to hear this message. And to their credit, they were responsive and they were worshipful. They didn't delay. With haste, they made their way to Bethlehem. They found it just as it was said. And afterwards, they praised God. They gave glory to him. Consider the excellence of these shepherds. Consider also this final phrase, worthy of praise. This word surpasses that word commendable, meaning what does the general population say is good? But now the standard is, what does God deem to be praiseworthy? What does God say is worthy of praise? And the angel and the multitude of heavenly hosts, remember, they declare to the shepherd, glory to God in the highest. They break out in praise to God at this moment, because even though the general population doesn't care or doesn't notice that there's a baby being born in Bethlehem, the angels see this moment as part of a much larger story, the beginning of something that's been waiting for centuries, for millennia. And so they can't help but break into song and to praise God who would give his son and send him as a baby. Think with me on these qualities expressed in the greater picture of the gospel. True excellence worthy of praise. Friends, if you are looking for truth, it begins and ends with Jesus. Because Jesus is not just true, he is the truth. Shortly before Jesus' death on the cross, he said these words, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way back to God, and it's not based on our spiritual performance. Jesus is the true way. Jesus is the only way to experience true life now and for eternity. Excellencies. Jesus' excellencies are beyond number, beyond what we could cover. Whatever category of virtue that we come up with, Jesus excels light years beyond anyone else in it. And if you've been saved by him, which again is not by spiritual performance, it's by grace, then you have been called to declare the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And worthy of praise, this is the final and most fitting way to describe Jesus, because Jesus condescended. He became a human to die on a cross for sinners. And because of that, God has exalted his name above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is indeed worthy of our praise. Amen? Let's move towards concluding. Remember this picture of the puzzle? Piecing it all together. Recall that Mary was pondering these things. That essentially means putting all the pieces together, trying to see the big picture. So let's put the puzzle pieces together. What picture did Mary see through her pondering? If it were a puzzle, what would be the big picture? It would certainly be more than just a baby in a manger. Though that was a central piece in the puzzle, there's a larger context. The piece together puzzle, I believe, would show this. Emmanuel, God of peace with us. Did you notice how in each one of the three accounts, it essentially, an angel showed up, and essentially there was a phrase that, don't be afraid. Why? God is here. Don't be afraid. God is here. Don't be afraid. God is here. The angel said it to Mary. The angel said it to Joseph. The angel said it to the shepherds. And that's what Paul says in the book of Philippians in the next verse. He says, if we practice these things that we've heard in the gospel, the God of peace will be with you. You'll notice it's also written in lights on the stage. Peace this Christmas season isn't found in our current circumstances. It's found in experiencing that the God of peace is with us. Emmanuel, Jesus, is God with us. In knowing, it's also knowing the Lord is at hand, like we said last week. So as we connect the puzzle piece of the baby in the manger to the bigger picture of God's shockingly good news, through pondering on the story like Mary, we will not only have a more peaceful feeling this Christmas season, but it will also might even lead to the salvation of our souls. Discovering how despite our sin, we can have peace with God. Through Jesus' life, through his death, through his resurrection, we can have God with us right now in the mess, but also for eternity. because the Son of God, Jesus, became a human baby, still fully God, fully human, not just so that we would get warm fuzzies at Christmas, but so that he could live the perfect life that we couldn't, so that he would be the sacrifice that was needed for our sin, so that by the shedding of his blood, he would cleanse us from all of our sin and give us his perfect righteous standing before God, such that if we believe in him, we can have 100% peace with God right now and for eternity. And we will have God with us now, his very spirit living in our hearts, a down payment of what's yet to come, as we will dwell in person with God for eternity. The exact opposite of being at odds with him, the Bible describes him as being a bridegroom and us as being the bride. And we will have God in the fullest sense possible, living in his love, living in his presence for life eternal. And so if you feel a tug in your heart right now as I'm speaking, this is something that you want. Let's make sure that today is the day that you receive this most amazing of all Christmas gifts. That you would know that you can have peace with God, believing in Jesus, you would have God with you. God with you forever. So if that's you, I would encourage you, please chat with the friend you came with or come up. I'm going to be right over here after the service, and I'd love to talk with you about how you can believe in Jesus. In review, let's cover what we did today. We decided we were going to practice Paul's instruction to think about these things by joining Mary at the manger in her ponderings about the good news announced regarding the baby Jesus. And as we saw the larger context, it led us to treasure afresh that the God of peace is with us. So, how do we respond to this? What should we do? Paul just gave one instruction. It's very simple. Think about these things, he said, not as a means of earning God's favor or getting saved, but because Jesus saved us, because he loved us, because he's with us. Dwell on these things. These categories that remind us of the gospel, these categories that are fitting for people that believe this good news. And so consider the ratio of the time you spend thinking about things. How much time do you spend thinking on the big story through God's word versus the other things that you think on, the other things you spin on in your life? Consider how to increase your pondering upon these beautiful and lovely qualities that Paul gave us in Philippians chapter 4. Typically, we end our service with a response song. We are going to do differently this morning. Instead, I'm going to have us practice what we just read. And so I'm going to give us a couple minutes. It's going to be quiet. There's not going to be background instrumental music. I want you to ponder upon Emmanuel, God of peace with us. I want you to consider how this good news might quell your fears and your anxieties this Christmas season and beyond. And even though it might be challenging, I want you to lean into this moment. I want you to take this moment as a short gift to start pondering upon everything we talked about this morning. So we're going to start that now, and then in a couple minutes, I'm going to close us in prayer. Jesus, Savior, Messiah, Son of David, Son of God, we thank you for this amazingly good news that you, the God of peace, want to be with us now and for eternity, all because you became a baby so you could live that life we couldn't. You could die that death we deserved and pay the way for us to have eternal life with you. This Christmas season, help us to ponder on these things. And may that give us a greater peace, maybe than we are even thinking of right now. Thank you so much for this amazingly good news. Thank you for this wonderful morning to celebrate with the help of the kids. And remember this most amazing of all stories. we bless you and we join with the angels in worshiping you and saying glory to God in the highest. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I want to thank you all for coming, whether you were a guest or this is your home. Thank you so much for coming and joining us this morning. If you would like to receive prayer, we're going to have a prayer team over here. I'll be over here as well if you want to talk about what we shared about this morning. And from the bottom of my heart, I wish you a very Merry Christmas. May Jesus, the God of peace, be with you.